Let's check now on this Friday afternoon with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson, filling in today for Mike Zuzlow, who graciously traded slots with her earlier in the week so that we could talk to her on a Friday afternoon. Jackie has been in Washington, D.C. this week at USDA's Ag Forum. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are the skies there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, they're 64 degrees and partly sunny. So
it's a beautiful day.
I can't tell you I've been out there at all.
I know you've been busy for the last couple days, 2.5 days, I suspect. What have you learned from USDA so far? Anything of great importance?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that are important. Of course, the main thing is, of course, the acreage numbers, you know, the yield numbers. I thought it was interesting that, you know, we actually came in at lower acres but ended up with a carryout of 2.1 billion pod on corn. And they achieved that by lowering exports 50 million from where they are currently and raising feed by 100 million. So, you know, I think that one of the big buzzwords around here, one of the top discussions is they came in with 171 million acres between corn and beans. And most of us in a normal growing year would expect that that's going to be about 174 million. So we know that there's still quite a bit of lateral to be able to move around and to add more acres. And some of the discussion got pretty brisk about that. And so beans, of course, 285 only raised the carryout by 135 million, even though we actually really came in with more acres, more crop, but an average price of 965. So, you know, it's interesting. Beans are definitely supported by meal. They're supported by oil, although they are looking for 200 million pounds less of bean oil this coming year. So, you know, grain consumption, there's a lot of good things. Grain consumption's at a record level, up 2% year over year. Corn itself is up 4%. You know, to me, that's really encouraging all the way around. And when you go to the meetings, you hear about the growth of population and the continued growth of population and the demand. It really looks like a very, very bright picture. But efficiency, that's, you know, Todd, we're good at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you an idea about efficiency, when you look at the beef inventory numbers, you know, everybody's talking about how we're so low on the beef inventory numbers. We are actually the lowest that we've been in 60 years. But in 2013, we produced three times as much beef on the lowest number of cattle in 60 years as they did back 60 years ago. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And at record retail prices, although, you know, one of the things that's really good is that the consumer price index it remains relatively low. And so, you know, that gives us perhaps a little bit of help. And I thought another, you know, we always hear how beef consumption is going down, But that's only if you look at certain cuts of meat. If you actually look at beef consumption based on the carcass weight, we consumed in 2013 domestically 76.5 pounds per person. And compared to 1950, we were only at 63.4 pounds per person. So, you know, the beef picture looks pretty strong. The pork picture, of course, we talked a lot about PEDV. We figured there's about 4 million animals gone. It might end up being 8 million, depending upon if they can get it under control. And yet, for the year, even in light of the PEDV, we are projected to be up 1% on production. Again, efficiency.
And they justify that just through efficiency?
Yep. The additional pounds and the lower corn cost, you know, which encourages people to take animals to a heavier weight. And in this particular case, that will be a good thing for us because they also expect exports to go up by 3%. Milk production going to be lower in 2014, but just slightly. But I thought it was interesting to note that 2013 was the fourth record year of exports out of the last 5 years for milk. And I mean milk and milk-related products. But just some really, really interesting things that show how vibrant this business that we're all in is.
Can I take you back to some of the numbers, the corn numbers you talked about up front just to begin with? Production, USDA set at 13.985 billion, $3.90 season's average cash price. They have ending stocks next year for the 14 crop, 14-15 marketing year at 2.11 billion bushels. You told us that they increased feed usage by 100 million, and I heard you explain some of that with some of the numbers you gave for the livestock, but that they had exports down from our current exports, which I think are 1.6 billion, and those have been increasing for this year. Was there much discussion about why that didn't increase more, or why it was down 50 million? I'm surprised that somebody didn't say something about this.
Well, I myself, you know, as they're going through all these presentations, you don't have the time to take everything apart. Had I not taken physical pictures with my smartphone, I would not have seen it either. And so, I mean, that's the way I do it. I take pictures of every slide with my smartphone.
Right.
But I was shocked myself, to be absolutely honest with you. I would have expected that we would have at least maintained 1.6 or looked at maybe more like 1.8, especially when you have a trend of prices going lower.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter then is it was one of many numbers that was up and not particularly mentioned. So I suspect that nobody asked too many questions about it, or none at all out loud.
There wasn't a single question. Had I seen it and caught it, I would have asked a question about it, but nobody did.
I'm glad you brought it up, because it's an interesting little question there, and it might make a big difference if the livestock and the ethanol industries are mature. How about that? And let's call that a good domestic floor. I think that's the way Daryl Good would refer to it. Then the export market is the place for the volatility, right? up and down one way or the other, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and you mentioned ethanol. That's the same thing in ethanol. That's one thing. You know, we've met the blend wall. It's likely, you know, we're not going anywhere besides that. And the only place we can really grow is basically in the export market, especially when we have a trend of consumption. When you look at gasoline, better mileage on cars, all of those types of things. But the encouraging thing is we are really seeing some dramatic increases in the exports on ethanol. And so, you know, rather than being just flat, there is a chance we might grow some, you know, more corn usage out of ethanol. But on the other side, you know, you're not going to get, it's not going to be enough that it's going to offset a lot of other things that we may lose in the interim. But export market is where it's at for everything. It's what's driving the milk market. It's what supported the beef market. It's what's driving the pork market. And, you know, and the big thing with the pork market, of course, is the PEDV, and, you know, if they can figure out how to stop it and how to vaccinate for it, because we currently don't have anything. And, you know, Asia has had it for a long time. Europe has had it for a long time. And they have a vaccination, but it's really not very effective. So this is going to be a very, I guess you'd have a learning curve. Let's say a steep learning curve for the veterinarians and everybody else who's doing all of the, you know, all the research.
If USDA is projecting ethanol usage at blend wall or above, does that mean they're of the opinion that no matter what US EPA has to say, that we're going to blend corn at capacity?
Well, that's certainly, they didn't say that from the platform, but I did ask some specific questions about it, and yes, that, you know, that the implications are far less than what the reaction has been to it at times. And so they anticipate that the usage is going to be there, and it's going to continue to be there.
Anything else you learned that we ought to know this afternoon?
Well, I think something that's really interesting is farmland values, of course, are still very strong. You know, as always, the variables, of course, are cash and interest. You know, if they expect interest rates have gone up slightly, but not enough to really have an impact. But this is the thing that I thought that was great. The debt ratio right now, as of the end of 2013, is at 10.5%. If you compare that to the 80s, we had an average of 22%. In other words, land values would have to roll back more than 50%. To put us back at the debt ratio that we were when we got in trouble in the 80s. So I think that is a very encouraging point. And weather, they talked about weather, you know, and the Western drought, of course, was the primary focus. And the fact that, you know, some of the crops are still going to suffer due to the fact that the drought was there, whether it be because of water being restricted or it actually still being very droughty conditions. But the thing that's concerning when you see it is that You know, the drought right now covers most of the main cattle and dairy and a lot of the dairy area out there. So that's a big, big question, you know, because when you look at an increase in 100 million bushels of feed usage, you got to have the animals to eat it and the people willing to feed it.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us and for reporting from Washington, D.C. Have a safe trip back here to Champaign County.
Thank you very much, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us on this Friday afternoon from Washington, D.C.